We're going to be studying this morning, beginning from Luke chapter, about the middle of chapter 3, on through about mid part of chapter 4 during our class time. So we're going to spend some time this morning dealing with the topic or the idea of temptation, because we'll read in our class this morning the account here in Luke's gospel of Jesus being tempted. We know Matthew also records a similar story. Mark, not as much. Cliff read that for us just a moment ago. That's Mark's account of where Jesus was tempted. There was a history writer by the name of Thomas Costain, and he wrote a book entitled The Three Edwards, which describes the life of Ranald III, who was a 14th century duke in what is now known as Belgium. And he was grossly overweight. He was even commonly called by his Latin nickname, which simply meant fat. After a violent quarrel, Ranald's younger brother, Edward, one of the three Edwards, led a successful revolt against him. Edward captured Ranald, but he did not kill him. Instead, he built a room around Ranald in the Newkirk Castle and promised him he could regain his title and property as soon as he was able to leave the room. This wouldn't have been a difficult task for most, because the room that he built around had windows and almost near normal sized doors. But the problem was Ranald's size. He couldn't fit through the door because of his being overweight. And to regain his freedom, he needed to lose weight. But Edward knew his older brother, and each day he sent a variety of delicious foods. Every day he wheeled a cart before Ranald that was loaded with the tastiest foods. And instead of dieting his way out of prison, Ranald grew bigger and bigger. When Edward was accused of cruelty, he had an answer. He said, "My brother's not a prisoner. He may leave when he so wills." Ranald stayed in that room for 10 years and wasn't released until after Edward died in battle. By this time, his health was so ruined that he died within a year, a prisoner of his own appetite. You know, I think there are many of us who, like Ranald, are sometimes trapped by our own sinful desires. And I want you to think this morning, I want you to think about your life, because you know you, I know me, I know how I struggle, I know where my temptation lies. So when we're going through this, think about that area that you're tempted in your life. Each of us have an appetite for certain sinful pleasures. And sometimes when we're tempted, we give in. It's a cycle of feast and famine, pleasure, then guilt. And perhaps that temptation, whatever it might be, you fill in the blank. Some sort of addiction. Maybe gossip. Maybe not taking care of your body. As we read there, of course, the story of Ranald. Maybe it's overspending on your credit card. Wherever you lack willpower, you know where that is. You know where you're tempted. You think about that very thing this morning as we go through these thoughts. Satan attacked Jesus in the wilderness. You're going to look at that in more detail in your class this morning, and that's recorded there in chapter 4, following the genealogy. And we read there in verse 13, of chapter 4, it says, "When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time." I want to think for just a little bit this morning about opportune times. Do you think we're dealing with someone that doesn't know us? We know God knows our very inner thoughts, knows us better than we do. But Satan does as well. He knows how to attack. He knows when to attack. He knows where to attack. And how many times? And he attacks Jesus here in what was a very inopportune time as far as Jesus was concerned. But for Satan, he picks those times in which he feels that he can overcome, can defeat. You know, before you pick a fight, you ought to know that you can win the war. Satan thought that he could be victorious over Christ. And 3 years later, the devil believed that as Jesus was nailed to the cross, he had finally won the war, that Christ was defeated. How many of you know the outcome of that battle? Jesus is alive. Jesus rose again. Satan's still here. He's still in the battle. But he definitely hasn't won the war and will not. We read the final chapter, the final book. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it." Today we're going to look at Christ's temptation in order to discover Satan's opportune times. Because Satan's there. He's striking. He's looking for places that he can enter in. I think there are five opportune times that we see here in the temptation of Jesus where Satan thought that this would be a good time. I can come in. I can get the victory that I'm after because of the weaknesses of the human flesh. I want to look at these five, and then at the very end this morning, we're going to look at some very practical ways to overcome temptation. I'm going to share those with you in a slide. So very, very short steps that we can take. So if you want to be ready to jot those down in a moment, I would encourage you to do that. But opportune time number one, after a spiritual victory. You know, this may surprise you, but Satan will hit you with a surprise attack almost immediately following a great spiritual victory. If we remember the timing or look at the timing here of Satan's attack against Jesus in the wilderness, it immediately followed his baptism. Go back up to chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. We see that. And so often when there's a new person or a person who has just put on Christ through baptism, a new Christian, one of the first things that we may pray for is give that Christian strength. Give that new babe in Christ strength because of the attacks that are coming. Satan will do that. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 17 says, "The highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." We need to be careful after a spiritual victory because Satan is there. He says, this might be a time that I can get in. Might be a time that I could do some destructive things in this life. Another opportune time that Satan strikes is when you're alone. Jesus was led into the wilderness where he was alone for 40 days. That was a deadly opportunity for Satan. And alone in the wilderness, he had no watchful eye in the crowd. The disciples were not present to see what choices he would make. Not even Jesus' enemies, the Pharisees, were around to criticize every move that he would make. He was all alone. Can that be a dangerous thing? Sure it can. Sometimes the struggles that we face, the temptations that we face, are multiplied or magnified when we're alone. God knew from the beginning it wasn't good for man to be alone. We see that in Genesis chapter 2. Jesus even sent the disciples out in pairs. Didn't send them out alone in their ministry. We see that in Mark 6 and Luke 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up." Sometimes when we're alone, that's when Satan can attack, can enter in. We need the accountability of relationships with others to help keep us from sin. We don't need to go it alone. So many times we think we can stand. So many times we let pride enter in. A third opportune time, and I think we see this in the story as well, is when we're physically tired or physically drained. Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness, a barren wasteland, yet he was even without food as well. He was tired. He was weak. He was weary. He was worn out. Physically, he was at about the lowest state in which he could be. You know, the lack of food and sleep, sickness, mental stress, hard work, any of these can bring on fatigue. And we sometimes find ourselves sick and tired of being sick and tired. Have you ever had thoughts at night that don't normally enter your head of a morning when you're well rested? Is it any wonder someone says, "I need to to rest before I make a decision. I need to sleep on this. I need to be refreshed. Satan can hit us when we're down physically. That's when he will attack. Jesus urged his disciples in Mark 14. He said, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." You all have heard that. You've read that. You can fill that in. And we know that. We live in that body. We understand that. That was an opportune time that Satan took to attack Jesus. We need to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh, but that's not always an easy thing to do, is it? I think another opportune time, and one that maybe we don't think about as much, would even be when you're at church. You know, if we notice the three times that Satan tempted Jesus, the third time he took Jesus to the temple and tempted him there. And do we find it surprising that Satan can bring an attack within the security of the church? Those that you're gathered around here this morning, those that are a part of this body here at Sunset. Nevertheless, Satan still wants to try to render the church ineffective and destroy you and me within the very walls of the church. And I think our problem is we feel safe at church, and therefore we sometimes let our guard down, and there's nothing wrong with that. Might illustrate it this way. Imagine the man who has gone to the hospital to have open heart surgery, say a triple bypass surgery. He's met the doctors, he's met the surgical team, he trusts them to take good care of him. And the risk of surgery has been explained to the patient, and he's been assured that every precaution has been taken to ensure his safety. But now imagine that in the middle of that operation, the anesthesiologist goes to sleep and he doesn't pay attention to the patient. Or worse yet, imagine that one of the nurses pours salt into the man's open chest cavity. Those who have been entrusted with saving this man's life are suddenly putting his life at greater risk or even killing him. People aren't perfect, are they? Christians aren't perfect. Sometimes Christians will fall asleep and they disappoint us. Sometimes Christians may even, how we feel, pour salt into that wound. Does that not give Satan a foothold? Sure it does. So even here at church can be an opportune time. But you know, God will use someone to bring healing and life even from a wound inflicted within the church. God can heal us from the salt that may be poured into our wounds, but we have to come to the hospital for treatment. And then the fifth opportune time, when you begin something new for good. Christ's temptation in the wilderness took place prior to his public ministry, right before he's about to go into the 3 year or so public ministry where he does so many good things. The miracles that he performs, the folks that he heals, even raising some from the dead. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, the chapter that we're looking at this morning. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Prior to that, he had been tempted. What would have happened if he'd given in? What would have happened if he'd allowed Satan to get a foothold? How much different could those next months and years have been? You know, Satan will always try to sabotage any work for God. He will try to stop it before it even gets off the ground. To put it simply, that's why we must be on guard against the attacks of the enemy. What are the opportune times that Satan strikes? It's when we're at our weakest. It's when we're down or when we're way up. Just after something good has happened and maybe we're not looking in the right direction there either. We see that Satan attacked Jesus in some very opportune times as far as Satan was concerned. How do we conquer temptation? Seven things that I want to look at. You may say, well, these are very simple, and they are. But are they things that we think about when we're going through the times that we're being tempted? And think about that one thing. Again, I said at the beginning of the lesson, what's that one thing that came to mind? when you think, I deal with this temptation. This is something that I deal with. If you're having trouble figuring that one thing out, maybe Satan's working on that. Because we all have that one thing that we can think about. And there's probably several things. As I was thinking about this, the list got longer than I hoped that it would. But what are those things that we deal with? Seven steps that we can take. First of all, we must refuse intimidation. You know, we've probably already faced some sort of temptation today. Now, this is a Sunday morning. This might be the morning you think, this is the day I'm going to slide by. If you haven't, then chances are you'll face it sometime before this day is over. Many Christian people are filled with guilt and shame because somehow they think they should be beyond temptation. And if they were really spiritually mature, they wouldn't be tempted. Well, no, that's just not the case. We see Jesus, the man that we pattern our lives after, being tempted in a very real way. Satan wants to use temptation to intimidate us into doing nothing for the Lord. We can't allow that. We must refuse intimidation. The second thing is we must recognize our pattern. By this I mean there are certain situations and circumstances in life that make you more vulnerable to temptation than others. And Satan knows our weaknesses. In those times when we're most vulnerable to temptation, you know, it's for this reason that Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So here are the questions that you ask yourself. When am I most tempted? What time of the day am I most tempted? Where am I most tempted? Is that at home? Is that at work? Is that at school? Is that when I'm out of town? Is that when I'm away from people who don't normally or aren't normally around me? And how do I feel just before I'm tempted? Do I have feelings of being tired, frustrated, bored? Recognizing the pattern for temptation helps us conquer Satan's pattern for tempting us. If we know that pattern, and we know ourselves, don't we? Think about that. Think about those areas in which you're the weakest. This sounds simple, but we must request help. Listen to what the Lord says in Psalm 50 and verse 15. Call upon me in the day of your trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. If God is ready and waiting to help us conquer our temptations, then why do we so often hesitate calling on Him for help? Sadly to say, I believe that many times we just do not want God's help. Often we want to give in to temptation, even when we know it's wrong. Other times we're embarrassed to ask God for help because we continue to fall into the same trap and continue to give into the same temptation over and over again. Yet God says, call on me. Let me help. A fourth thing is refocusing our attention. You know, a few moments ago I mentioned the scripture there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Notice what verse 9 says. Peter tells us to resist the devil. Nowhere does God's word say we're to resist temptation because we cannot simply resist a thought. Let me give you an example. No one in this auditorium this morning should be thinking about a red elephant. What did you think about? A red elephant, didn't you? That thought just automatically entered in. Boom, you see that however you pictured that in your mind. When we allow tempting thoughts into our minds, they can consume us and we can fall prey to the temptation. It's been said the battle for sin is won or lost in your mind or in our mind. And that's so true. Think about that. As those thoughts enter in, you know yourself. You know where you're weak. You know where you struggle. You know where you're tempted. You know what thoughts can cause you problems. Refocus that attention. Redirect that attention. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Where are your thoughts? Where do your thoughts go? Does a chocolate chip cookie tempt you? If you're trying to watch the weight or watch the figure, it might. If that's where your weakness is, well, if you think about that, what do you think about next? Well, where could I go and get one? Or I think I remember seeing one tucked away somewhere. Let me go do some searching. Let me think about that for just a minute. We allow that thought then to take us to maybe a different room in the house. We continue down that trail until finally, yeah, we have that, and we've spotted that chocolate chip cookie. That may be a simple example, but fill in the blank. Whatever you struggle with, wherever you are in your life, the thoughts that enter in can then take control. We have to change our thinking, and sometimes this means we must physically leave a tempting or a potentially tempting situation. Get up and turn off the TV, shut down the computer, walk away from a group of gossipers, whatever the case might be. Refocusing, that's a big part of it. We must reveal our struggles. And you know, this is a difficult thing for all of us to do. And I'm not saying that you should advertise your struggles, but you do need to have a person or a small group that will hold you accountable. We'll ask you certain questions. We'll visit with you about certain things. Will be a person that you can turn to, and this needs to be a person that you would trust, a person you have most confidence in. And you know, a lot of times you may naturally be drawn to a person that's struggling as well. And if you can help one another, what a wonderful thing. We go back to that verse in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. But let's be real this morning. If you're constantly losing the same battle to a certain temptation, if you're losing against a bad habit or an addiction, you'll never conquer it on your own. Requesting help, that's going to God. But having someone here that can help you as well. Revealing our struggles. The sixth thing is we must realize our vulnerability. Someone once said, given the right circumstances, any of us are capable of committing any and every kind of sin. We must be on guard against Satan and his temptations. We are all vulnerable. There are none of us strong enough in our own strength to win every battle against temptation. We must not carelessly put ourselves into situations where we know we'll be tempted. We must avoid them at all costs. It's much easier for us to stay out of a tempting situation or predicament before it comes or before it happens than it is to get out once we're there. We need to understand our vulnerable spots in life. And then finally, we must resist the devil. You may say, well, that's easier said than done. James chapter 4 and verse 7, James says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How can you do that? I think Paul gives us some insight in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. He says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit of God. Basically, two steps in doing that. The first step is putting on Christ, becoming a part of that army, part of that body. You know, I had a conversation one time with a younger Christian. And he said, I struggle with something now that I didn't struggle with before I became a Christian because I didn't realize it was wrong at that point. And now I do. Now I know that it's wrong. I see where that's wrong. It still tempts me, but I fight it. At one time, I wasn't fighting. At one time, I wasn't struggling. If you're here this morning and you're struggling, you may think, I just don't know what I can do. I'm struggling. If you're struggling, you're fighting. If you're fighting, you're still in the battle. You haven't lost because it's a daily battle. You can't say no to Satan unless you said yes to Jesus. Without Jesus in our lives, working in our lives, we're defenseless against Satan. Second step in that, once we are part of that body, once we're in that war, once we're striving daily to win that battle each and every day, we need to do as Jesus did. We need to be ready to answer. We do that through reading God's Word, studying it, memorizing and applying it in our everyday lives. Jesus is our example. In the wilderness, Jesus was tempted 40 days. was there 40 days and then tempted by Satan, and every time Satan suggested a tempting thought, Jesus resisted by quoting the Word of God. Jesus didn't argue with Satan. He didn't try to reason with Satan. He didn't try to rationalize the temptation. Jesus simply responded with God's Word. Over and over, Satan came at Him. Not once did Jesus panic, get upset, become agitated or anxious. He simply quoted the life-changing, powerful Word of God that Satan fears, and we have that very Word yet today. Do we know it? Have we put it in our hearts? Have we hidden it there so that we're ready to withstand? Finally, Satan left Him. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Where are you this morning in your spiritual life? Are you battling? Are you fighting some things? Keep fighting. Knowing that some of these things that we can do can help us in those battles. And hopefully this has been something that's been practical. Something you say, I can think of that one thing that I struggle with, and here's some things that I can work on. It's a homework assignment this week. Think of that one thing. Work on that. You may be here this morning, you haven't yet put on Christ through baptism. What a wonderful opportunity. What a perfect opportunity this morning to do that before the group that's gathered here, brothers and sisters in Christ, to welcome you. Or as a Christian, I know we struggle. I can speak from experience. You may be struggling this morning. We can pray for you. Pray to God to give you strength this very morning. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?